Hi, this is George Love, pastor at Hebron Presbyterian Church. The sermons that are typically posted on this page are recordings of the sermons as they actually occur. On this past Sunday, February 2nd, we didn't get the sermon recorded, so we're going to try something a little different and read the scripture and kind of talk through some points from the sermon. The scripture is Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountain. He sat down, and his disciples came to him. He taught them, saying, "Happy are people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed, because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harassed the prophets who came before you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's important to think about when Jesus showed up and where Jesus showed up. Jesus didn't just come to us at any moment at some random place. Jesus came to us at a particular moment, at a particular time in history. Jesus showed up amongst the Jewish people in Judea and the Galilee. A Jew, at a time when Jewish people were often subject to suffering because of the Romans, who were the rulers of that time. Because of the oppression that was a regular feature of what it meant to be a Jew in Judea and in the Galilee at that time, they were a people who were looking for one who would come and would change all of that oppression and all of that suffering that they experienced. A new version of the Old Testament, King David, who would lead them to victory over the Romans. This would make them happy. This would be a turn of events, the overthrowing of Rome, that would put them back in control of their land, and it would remove that oppression. That would be the happiest day possible. Some of them, at the time when Jesus came, began to recognize that Jesus was the person they were looking for. But even for those who saw Jesus for who he was, the message was much different than what they were waiting for. That last bit is an important lesson to keep in mind when we interact with Jesus. Not only when we interact with Jesus in Scripture, but when we interact with Jesus in our daily lives, when we interact with Jesus in prayer. We want to be happy. That's a human goal. And it's a good goal. However, there is what we mean by happy, and there is what Jesus means by happy. It becomes really important for us to consider what is really meant by happiness. And it becomes equally important then for us to not only think about, what do I mean by happiness? But what did Jesus mean when Jesus spoke about happiness? This morning, as we're going through this particular passage, we are in a decidedly uncomfortable portion of our journey through discipleship that we've been taking through January and throughout the month of February. It is a portion that asks us to believe that some of life's most difficult things are good things, or at least can be good things. A portion that asks us to consider that some of what we consider to be the best things may not always be the best things. It's basically a word about how being a disciple means letting Jesus turn things upside down. Being willing to listen to Jesus and to let Jesus challenge the way we understand the way the world works. Jesus had begun to make a name for himself. And in this scripture passage from Matthew 5, he's got a crowd that's after him. And in order to speak to them, he goes to a mountain and he begins to teach. He says to the assembled crowd that if you are hopeless, if you grieve, if you are humble, if you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, if you're a person who shows mercy, if you are pure in heart, if you're a person who makes peace, if you're a person who's harassed because you are righteous, if people insult you, speak badly and falsely of you because of Jesus, then you will be happy. If you are in that crowd that day, you might understand some of this. It could make sense to you for a religious teacher to say, being humble, being pure in heart, being merciful, those are all hallmarks of happiness. You could agree to that. But some of it, being hopeless, grieving, harassed, insulted, verbally attacked, and possibly worse. How's that stuff going to make you happy? Perhaps you think to yourself, I've been in the Galilean sun too long today. Or maybe you think to yourself, Jesus has been out in the Galilean sun too long on this particular day. What does Jesus mean? Jesus is seen by many of these folks as a potential answer to what troubles them, namely Roman oppression, a primary source of hopelessness and grief and harassment and insult and attack. This crowd does not want to be happy while those things are happening. They want to be happy because those things are over. What is he talking about? What does Jesus mean? At the front of our sanctuary, we have a Paschal candle. Paschal candle, the Easter candle. And it is brought into the sanctuary, carried in on Easter Sunday, and for the first time, the new Paschal candle is lit. And then on each Sunday of the season of Easter until the day of Pentecost, it is lit. And it reminds us, each of those Sundays of Easter and of the triumph of Christ over death, of resurrection. For the rest of the year, it is lit on Sundays when there is a baptism, or when there is a death in the church, or in the church family, the extended family of the church. A lot of times, that Paschal candle is lit because of loss. because it reminds us that loss is not permanent. It symbolizes the great hope of Easter and the victory of life over death. But it also reminds us that there are people who are at that moment living through loss. People that are grieving, to use the word Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount. It reminds us to lift those folks up in prayer because they are grieving, hurting, not because they are happy. You can begin to really appreciate the questions that may have been swirling in the minds of the folks gathered there listening to Jesus on the mountainside next to the Sea of Galilee. Again, what does Jesus mean? First thing, translators will tell us this about Jesus' words in this passage. They will tell us that he is not saying, become these things and you will be happy. He's not commanding people to become hopeless or to go out and become grief-stricken. He's not saying, become these things and then you can be happy. But first you have to go and actively try to become these things. He's saying that when you are hopeless and when you are grief-stricken, you can be happy, which is a much different thing. To be clear, he's not saying find a way to be filled with grief. He's saying, I know that in life, at some point, maybe at many points, you will experience grief. You will be filled with grief. Even then, you can be happy. You see the difference? This isn't about making your life miserable and difficult in order to find happiness. This is about the still challenging truth that Jesus says that when these things happen, we can still be happy. What I believe he's saying to us is this, to the people of his day, even in the midst of Roman oppression, you can be happy. Even in the midst of the hardship of life, you can be happy. And to us, even when you feel hopeless, when you grieve, because you will, the Paschal candle will be lit. Even in the face of various kinds of adversity, because you're trying to do the right thing, you can be happy. That can happen because Christ is with you, because the kingdom of heaven is yours, because you will be made glad, because you will inherit the earth, because you will be made full, because you will receive mercy. Because you'll be called children of God, because the kingdom of heaven is yours, because there is great reward in the life that is to come. The morning this sermon was originally delivered, it was another first Sunday of the month, which for us at Hebron means another communion Sunday. This word from God is a perfect word from God on a communion Sunday. Jesus gave his friends the communion meal on the night before he was arrested, and they ate that meal with him the night before his crucifixion. This could easily be a bereavement meal. This could be a meal of sadness that we eat to memorialize a great person who we lost. But it's not. It's a meal of promise. It's a meal of hope. It's a meal celebrating our risen Lord. It is the happiest of feasts. Jesus knows that life comes with hardships and challenges and pain, and he wants us to know that in the midst of all that, he is with us. His friends, his followers, his disciples. And he wants us to know that however things appear to be at this moment, in Christ, because of Christ, This day has every opportunity to be happy. Thanks be to God. Amen.